Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Andy Baskin, I'm Jeff Phelps. Coming up at 11 o'clock, Nick Costos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. We have a couple of college football games to discuss.
Oh, yes, we do.
A couple of NFL playoff games to discuss.
Five straight days of playoffs.
Get ready for that. Last year, more than a few times on this show, Andy, I got into heated debates with people who I respect, and I respect their basketball opinions. Mm-hmm. And I thought people were way off base, and they were way off base, I thought, on the idea that you cannot have a team with two big men. We heard that a lot last year from people who were on our show. You can't have Jared Allen and Evan Mobley play together because neither one goes out on the floor and stretches things out because you've got to have big men who hit threes.
Did you think the argument was stronger for two big men or two guards?
It was the big men argument that drove me absolutely up a wall.
Oh, it just drove you nuts. I thought more people would argue about the guards than they did about the big guys. Like, I know that people wanted to argue big guys, especially with us.
We had people on this show say you have to trade Jared Allen, and Evan has to play center because you can't play the two of those guys together.
I don't know. I always felt like that was silly, too.
I thought it was ridiculous, Yeah. And we got into arguments about it. Well, guess what?
You won, Jeff.
No, it's not. It's nothing about me.
It's more fun when I say you won.
Well, okay. It's about basketball sense. Okay, you have two big guys, and I remember exactly what I said. Of course you can make it work. All you have to do is coach it up. That sounds stupid. Guess what? Kenny Atkinson has coached it up. He has been able to put together an offense where Jared Allen and Evan Mobley can coexist and make it work for the team. And before anybody says, well, that's because Evan is shooting more threes. Okay, maybe, except for one thing. How to work last night. They combined for 46 points, 21 rebounds, 13 assists, 4 steals.
They shot 71% together.
And between the two of them, they took 3 3-pointers. That was it.
Every basket they made was inside the key.
Now, do you have to space it out a little bit? Maybe because Evan steps out on the floor? Maybe. But it's not like the three has become like the focal part of his game. It's not. It's working because Kenny Atkinson is coaching it up with what he has, which is, to me, the way you're supposed to be. Last year, I don't think that happened. Last year, I do think that they were thinking about the threes in particular. This year, Kenny Atkinson took this job thinking that maybe Mobley and Allen, why not? That's what he was there to do, right? Coach what you have, and he's done that. Here's Kenny after the game.
I came from a different angle. Why can't they play together? Because they're so talented. And you see how we do it, right? We play them together, and then we can split them up. And my experience, especially with the Warriors, that really, really is important because every series is different. You have to have different lineups work, and sometimes you have playoff series where you need the two bigs. Sometimes you might play them less.
And that's the idea. Coach what you have and make what you have work. When you have talented players in any sport, but in this case, it's basketball. When you have talented players, your job is not to fit them into your system necessarily. It's to create a system that allows your talented players to thrive. And I think that's what Kenny Atkinson has done. Now, part of it is this. Jared Allen's scoring average, if this means anything, you guys tell me if it does, is down 2.4 points this year. And Evans is up 3.2. So the two of them combined are scoring less than 1 point a game more this year than they averaged for all of last season.
Sharing is caring, Jeff. Let's not forget that. But sharing is caring. Jared Allen hit every one of his buckets inside that restricted zone last night. Little circle on the inside.
He's a big guy who plays well inside. That's what you're supposed to do.
82%!
That's what you're supposed to do.
Get him the ball and get it in the hoop, and good things happen.
Jim's in Strongsville. Hi, Jim.
Hello, James.
Hey, guys. Hey, Jeff, I just want to call you out a little bit. You're mischaracterizing people's argument about having two big men on the floor. You were adamant that you didn't want Evan Mobley shooting three-pointers. This only works because Evan Mobley's grown and been able to grown into a player that can put the ball on the floor and can shoot from three-point. If he couldn't do those two things, having two big men on the floor is still not a good thing. So I get what you're saying. Yes, people disagreed, but that was under the current way that Evan Mobley was playing and the current limitations that he had. The fact that he's grown in ways that you weren't necessarily sure you wanted him to grow into is why it works. So I just think you're mischaracterizing why you have to. You can have as many bigs out there as you want, as long as
I think you're mischaracterizing it. You had two big guys create a system for it to work. Naturally, his game's going to evolve a little bit. But he's not a three-point shooter. That's not the emphasis of his game. And most folks who I argued with about it last year wanted him to become the second coming of Dirk Nowitzki. You can't put the square peg in the round hole. And because he wasn't going to become Dirk Nowitzki didn't mean you had to trade Jared Allen. And
no,
they've been able to put that together and make it work, Jim. That's my point.
Coaching it up. So, I mean, listen, Evan Mobley, don't get me wrong. I'm not dismissing the scheme, but Evan Mobley's growth his ability to put the ball on the floor has changed everything. I mean, I just don't think we can underplay that in any way. That has changed fundamentally the type of player that he is.
But Jim, I agree with that. Part of it is also the fact that Kenny Atkinson has put a scheme together that can allow him to do those things.
I agree with that. It's very unlike you to take a victory lap. That's why when I heard you before, taking a victory lap.
it wasn't that as much, Jim, as it's just I thought it was preposterous that people thought you needed to trade a really good player because you had another really good player who did a lot of the same things. I thought that was silly.
I agree. It's more like Andy to take victory laps. That's more his MO.
Well, guess what, Jim? There's nothing wrong with taking a victory lap every once in a while, isn't there?
Listen, let's bring the Kelsey's up. Come on.
Said anything about them. I'll take a victory lap for the city. It's not me. I just kind of want to be Rocky running up the stairs and have everybody come up and join me at the statue because we all should take a victory lap.
Are you a Taylor Swift personal friend now?
I just want to say Tay-Tay called last night. No, Tay-Tay. Not at all.
Not later, boys.
Hi, Jim.
I said, can you write a little ditty about me? And she was just like, sure, whatever you need.
Well, you have to date first, and then you have to break her heart.
Oh, well.
Can you imagine the nasty song that's going to be written about Travis?
There isn't going to be a nasty song.
I hope not.
This is love, my friends.
I sure hope so.
If they do break up, I can't wait to hear the music.
Can I ask you something?
I don't know. I got I guess I'm stuck here for another 3 hours and 11 minutes. Sure, you can ask me anything you want.
I still don't like the two small guards.
Wait, I got to check into the game. Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Now, that said,
scorers tables give me all kinds of problems.
That said, Kenny Atkinson has put together a scheme where both Darius and Donovan are thriving. Is it going to be a concern in the playoffs? I'm curious to see if it is. And, you know, I was convinced that you could figure out a way to play two bigs together. It's been done time and time and time again in the NBA. You know, two bigs, you figure it out, and you go win. Very, very, very few teams have ever had the two small guards and win championships. And I wonder if Kenny's scheme is able to make that happen.
I thought Isaiah Thomas, a guy could understand that a little bit, right? Isaiah can understand that a little, right?
A little bit.
So he was talking after the game on NBA TV, and he just kept, man, he was raving for like 4 or 5 minutes about the chemistry that Cavaliers have and that, you know, Donovan and Darius got together even before Kenny Atkinson was hired as a coach and got the guys together and said, here's what we need to do, and this is how we're going to get better, and this is how we're going to play together as a team. And, you know, I'm assuming that Kobe jumped in there and said, hey, guys, if we're going to make this work, We got to make this work, so we'll do whatever it takes. I mean, maybe it was their version of the Greenbrier.
Where'd they go?
I don't know. Where did they
go? Out for wings?
They in a joint in Orlando for a little bit in
Disney?
In camp? No, they were somewhere. They started camp down in Florida.
Oh, that's true. They did.
Yeah. They had their version of the
Greenbrier.
Yeah, but that was the whole team. It wasn't just Donovan and, and Darius.
Well,
but he was saying that those two got together in the offseason and said, hey, and he, I mean, Isaiah just talked about team chemistry for probably 4 or 5 minutes after the game last night. And I was like, wow, man, you maybe there's something here. And when you talk about it from that two guard perspective, I think he would know pretty well.
Well, it's the one team where you think about, you know, that does come to mind, where there were two guys who weren't, you know, 6'6". Dumars was 6'3", and Isaiah was, what, 6 foot maybe when he played? Mm-hmm. And that's the one team where, okay, they had some success there. And I wonder if the Cavs can duplicate that. You know,
Well, we're on our way.
We'll see.
I mean, we're sitting here. I kind of don't want to worry. I know you need to. Like, if you were the general manager, you would need to worry about what's coming up down the road. Right?
Yeah, except I don't know that, I don't know that you mess with anything, do you?
No, I can't.
I wouldn't.
How do you mess with a team that's lost one game out of 20 at home, 32-4?
If I could move some pieces at the end of the bench and bring in another wing guy who I thought would be a great fit for this team, I think I would do it. And I would also think about it for another big guy. And I don't mean an Evan or a Jarrett, but you know, maybe a 6'9", 6'10 guy who can give me a little more depth in the front court. But I wouldn't move any of the guys that Kenny's really playing any minutes, you know, and because it's working. If I could trade a future second round pick, whatever, I would have my eyes open for somebody else who might be able to help me on the wing. Although I think they might have that guy already in their first round pick.
I don't know. I kind of want to be where
I like Jalen Tyson's potential.
I'm not going to lie. I like the fact that this team came into last night's game going, well, you know, it's a game. We're going to still continue to have fun. We're going to remember who we are first, and then we'll worry about the other team. And we know that if we play our best game, that we should be able to beat anybody in the NBA, and we're going to execute the way we've been executing all season long. And like, the opponent, while it might have been a gigantic game, the rhetoric before the game was very much, we know how to control things, and we know our own team, and they're having more fun. And when they say after the game that this is a game I don't know we would have won last year, to me, it makes it sound like they figured out how to make the machine work a lot better than they did last year.
And again,
that's not any offense to the former coach. Please don't.
No.
I'm not sitting here ripping JB, but maybe
they're
just
not as good as they are now without the work that JB and his staff did the last several years.
Agreed. They had to, I mean, there's a crescendo part to this, right? Where they had to start to learn to get to know each other last year a little bit better. And how do you think Doug Collins felt when he left Chicago? Right?
Yeah. Well, the one thing that's key for
And by the way, I hope it turns out that way, right?
Well, yeah. Sure. Wouldn't that be great? The one thing that's really key for the organization here, and this is not a shot, because without him, you know, who knows where this is. They're doing something without LeBron James that they hadn't done. I mean, with the only success that Dan Gilbert's had as an owner of this team was when LeBron was on the team.
Sure.
Until now. You know, last year you made the playoffs, you won a series. That's great. It was starting. This is what the organization has been shooting for, because you knew that LeBron wasn't going to be here forever. You know, when he came back, I was hoping he'd finish his career here, but that didn't end up being the case. And you know, when LeBron was on your team, he's clearly he's the tail that's wagging the dog, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that. Let's be all honest about that. That's the way it is. And it's been that way, you know, in Los Angeles with LeBron too. This is not that situation. The organization put this together. Good bunch of players, good bunch of coaches. Front office has done the job. And it's the team type of overall effort that the organization has been screaming for to have happen without LeBron James. And they're there right now. Now the only question, let's see where it ends up. Nick Kostos, our Odyssey Sports betting insider. What's he think about Ohio State? What's he think about Ohio State coming up this weekend against those Texas Longhorns and Quinn Ewers?
Tomorrow, buddy.
The former Buckeye.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. In the snow in Texas. Nick's next on Baskin and Phelps.